Great time of worship this morning. It's an exciting time of year as we are reminded of the birth of our Lord Jesus. Again, not just a babe in a manger, but born to save and to be our Lord. Not only our Savior, but Lord as well. You know, most of us have witnessed the amazing blessing of God in one way or another at some time or another in our lives, haven't we? It may be the healing of injury or an illness, and we see that happen around here often as we pray and we ask for God to heal, and He does. Maybe it's was the matter of money for a bill. He had a bill that was just like, oh man, this is just so, where is it going to come from? And at just the right time, the money comes through. That's exciting when you see that happen, isn't it? Or maybe you were just hoping for a phone call that you'd get the job, and the phone, just then you're praying and the phone rings and lo and behold, you got the job. Those are exciting times when you see God do amazing things. But on the other hand, maybe yet you're still waiting. You've prayed. And prayed, and it just hasn't worked out. Doesn't seem like anything is happening. You're waiting for something to happen, and it just ain't happening the way you'd hoped to, at least not yet. It may be something financial. It may have something to do with a relationship. Maybe it's a job. Maybe you're hoping that the offer that you've made on a house is going to go through, or that you're waiting for your house to sell. Maybe it's conceiving a child. Maybe it's a medical condition. You've been praying for healing, or there's just some uncertainty. You haven't heard from the doctor yet. Maybe it's just general heartache. And yet, nothing yet has happened. What's going on? And you're just all tied up in knots over it. What are you going to do? How do you deal with it? Well, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 1 this morning. Luke chapter 1, as we continue our series on characters of Christmas. We're looking at Mary this morning out of Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. And here you find an angel. His name's Gabriel. He comes to Mary. Now, remember the historical context. Israel hadn't heard from God directly for 400 years. It's a long time to not hear from God. They had some Old Testament scriptures, yes, but they hadn't heard directly from God for 400 years. They're looking ahead to the Messiah, and God hasn't spoken yet or recently on the matter. And remember, also, the political climate wasn't ideal either. You had this self-consumed, paranoid, genocidal king by the name of Herod. And then we come to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And at just the right time, in the sixth month, the context here is would indicate that it's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy with John the Baptist. So in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing is impossible with God. That'd be a good place for an amen, right? Nothing is impossible with God. So as we study Mary, the mother of Jesus, we come to realize that she is special. She is special. And oftentimes we don't give her the attention that we probably ought to give her, because she, as the Scripture says, was highly favored. This is a special young lady. And it's evident that she was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. And she was chosen by God to give birth to the Messiah. So she was special. And yet, she's like you and me in so many ways. She's human. She had questions. How will this be? I am a virgin. You could just imagine the questions. What will people think? Will they believe me? This just sounds too unbelievable, right? So let's think about some of the impossibilities here that had to be overcome. First of all, hearing from God. It's not every day that you hear directly from God as Mary did. God had been silent for these 400 years, and he sends an angel to speak to her relative Elizabeth, telling her that she would have a son, John the Baptist, and now an angel comes to Mary, and you think, this just can't be. I mean, this is like impossible. And the impossibility is overcome through his word. God spoke at just the right time. And he has spoken to you and to me. God has spoken through his word. We have his account right here in the Scriptures. So when it comes to whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're waiting for, remember, go to the word of God. All right? We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. But that's how this seeming impossibility is overcome, is through the word. There's another impossibility, and that's the pregnancy without a man. You will be with child. She was a virgin. How will this be since I am a virgin? Verse 34. This impossibility is overcome by the power of God. The Holy Spirit enabled Mary to conceive, have a child without a man. And by the way, the virgin birth is essential to Jesus becoming a man. This is not a take-it-or-leave-it doctrine. The virgin birth is essential. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. And so sin is passed through the seed of a man. Therefore, since no man was involved in the conception of Jesus, he was born without a sin nature. He was truly the perfect Lamb of God without blemish. In all points, tempted like as we are, yet without sin. All right? So, you have this essential doctrine, pregnancy without a man, so that the Messiah could be virgin born. God had it figured out. This overwhelming impossibility was taken care of by God. Here's another one, and that is favor with God. The angel says, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. How in the world can that happen? Because we're all sinners, right? And Mary was a sinner. And yet, she was chosen to bear the Son of God, God the Son, to bring him into the world. Why? How? Because she was favored. How did she obtain favor from God? By God's grace. By his grace. The angel tells her she was highly favored. The Lord was with her. She was a sinner who was favored by God because of the grace of God, not because of her own righteousness. It's just like when we turn to him in salvation. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, it is by grace that you are saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And so, salvation is a matter that is given to you that you don't earn, you don't deserve, you can't work for it. It's by grace. That's favor with God. It's accomplished through Jesus and what he did on the cross in your place through his death, burial, and resurrection. As in the Old Testament, saints like Mary were looking ahead to the coming of the Messiah and believed that He would save them from their sins, we look back by faith in the same, much the same way. So you have this favor with God, seeming impossibility, but God had it figured out, right? Well, here's another impossibility, and that is the child would be the Son of God. And so this is overcoming the obstacle of the ability to have a relationship with God. Think about that. How could a sinner stand before a holy God? Look at verse 31 here. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he was called Jesus because he would save people from their sin. He will be great, verse 32, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. You know, have you ever thought about the possibility of meeting a celebrity or maybe someone who's really important, and they thought, man, if I could just meet them and shake their hand and just talk with them, that would be really awesome. Apart from your politics, whatever, it is something to be able to talk to the President of the United States. To think, wow. And back when George W. Bush came through Troy on his second campaign for his second 4 years, I had the opportunity of going to listen to him speak at the square here in Troy. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. We got there early, and I mean, I was right there, front and center. He was right there in front of me, you know, and I was like, man, this is cool. So we heard him speak. It was a really hot day and everything, and we got to hear him speak. And so then he comes down after he was done speaking, and he was making the rounds. I thought, oh, man, he's going to come over here. I'm going to get to talk to him. I'm going to get to shake his hand. It's like, oh, this is great. And man, I was like, okay, I want to say something meaningful, and I want to be able to shake his hand and everything. So he's coming, and I got to shake his hand. And I probably shouldn't have done this because, you know, Secret Service is there. They're pretty jumpy and everything. But I patted him on the shoulder. And I shook his hand. I said, hi. Isn't that awesome? And I said, my name's Dale Christian, and I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church here in Troy, and we're praying for you. And he says, thank you. I'm proud of you. But I got to talk to the President. I haven't washed my hands since. It was exciting. And again, he, apart from politics, this was a very important man on this earth. I got to talk to him. And I have pictures to prove it. It was exciting. But even more exciting than that, more humbling, more awesome than that, is that one day I'm going to stand before God. And just as exciting as that is, as a believer, you have the opportunity at every moment of every day to talk with the God of all creation. Think about that. I mean, it's an impossibility. But here, as a sinner, I have a relationship with God, and so do many of you. And if you don't have one, you can. It's an impossibility that is overcome through Jesus Christ. God becoming man so that you could have a relationship with Him. Are you facing something that is seemingly impossible? Maybe it's a mountain of debt. You're just like, I just don't know how I can get through this. Maybe someone you love just won't listen. Maybe something you'd like to see happen just ain't happening. You know, it's like, man, I've been praying. It just isn't happening yet. And something you want to see moved, it won't budge. How do you deal with that? Well, how did Mary deal with it? Let's look at it. She says, how will this be? since I am a virgin. This is like impossible. This can't happen. How did she deal with that which was impossible? God tells her here, nothing. No thing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. How can this possibly be? How can it happen? Nothing is impossible with God. Do you believe that? Let's think about that for a moment.
Your baby boy would one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know child that you've delivered will soon deliver you? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? Did you know? child you're holding is the great I am.
Amen. Thank you, Ron. Thank you, Emil. You know, you think about that, it's a good question. Mary, did you know? And how much did you know? And how did you deal with all of this? Well, one way she dealt with it is God said, nothing is impossible with God. And the focus of our thoughts today, as we learn from Mary, is to note her response to all of this. And the statement in verse 38, and Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. I'm the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your word. In essence, she was saying, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So here's a take-home thought. You thought we were done, right? But here's a take-home thought today. And that is, you experience the impossible by believing what God has said. You experience the impossible. That's what Mary was. How can this be? I am a virgin. How could this possibly happen? You get through it. You understand it. You know it by believing what God has said in relationship to your particular situation. My friend, this is your greatest hope. Many people today think, I know what God's Word says. I know what the Bible says, but. I know what the Bible says, but. And then they wonder why they don't see God do the impossible. So in order to witness God doing the impossible, you must believe what God has said. Now, again, many say, well, I asked God to do, and fill in the blank. You can do that. I've asked God to fill in your blank. And I've asked Him to do that, and I've asked Him to do it over and over and over again, and He didn't do it. So what's up with that? What is our take-home thought? And that is, in order to experience the impossible, you must believe what God has said. Not believing that you will get what you ask for or what you want, but believe what God has said about whatever it is you're asking. I call it, when we think that God needs to do what I've asked Him to do, I call that faith in faith. I've asked God to fill in your blank, heal, restore, provide, whatever it is. I've asked God to do that, and I know He's going to do it because I just have faith that He's going to do it, and I'm just going to believe that God is going to do it. I call that faith in faith. That it'll happen because I have enough faith, and if it doesn't happen, I guess I didn't have enough faith. That kind of thinking will torpedo your faith. Because the point here is that it will happen according to His will, and you need to believe what God has said about whatever your blank is. Right? What does God say about these kinds of things? Well, let's, Lord, heal me, or heal my friend. And the Apostle Paul was one who asked that God would heal him of a particular situation. In 2 Corinthians 12, it's called his thorn in the flesh. All right? We don't know what that was, but we can all relate to some kind of thorn in the flesh. Right? And Paul says, he said, yes, no less than three times, God, take this thorn in the flesh away from me. Get it out of here, you know? And he prayed. And God said, here's what God said, and some of folks who have been in the hospital have heard me read this passage to you and have said this, but God said, and this is all God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's all God says. My grace is sufficient for you. Whatever it is you're going through, my grace is sufficient. I will help you through it because my power is made perfect in your weakness. That's when the power of Christ is most evident in your situation. Maybe you're praying, God, take this temptation away. I just struggle with this over and over and over again. And yet, what does God say about this? He says there in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation that has come upon you but such as is common to man. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted or tested beyond what you can bear, but will with that test, that temptation, make a way to escape that you can bear up under it. God is not going to give you any more than you can handle by His grace and with His help. And He may be doing all kinds of amazing things through whatever it is that you're facing, or whatever the temptation may be, but that's where you trust God, that He is faithful. He will help you through that. You don't have to buckle under the pressure. Or just, oh God, help me. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. You do it through Christ. Without Him, you couldn't do it. So you depend upon Him. And Mary here found out that she would be pregnant. But look at her response. She says, oh, I can't handle this, right? Is that what she said? Oh man, this is just too much. You're asking too much. There's just no way. What in the world is Joseph going to think? I mean, here, we're engaged to be married, and I'm going to tell him, I got a little thing I got to tell you, I'm pregnant. You know, what's he going to think? Well, what was Mary's response here? No, she didn't say any of those things. She said, I am the servant of the Lord. I'm in your hands. The servant doesn't tell the master what to do, right? The master tells the servant what to do, and the servant willingly submits. I am the servant of the Lord. Here's what she says then. Let it be to me according to your word. Isn't that awesome? That's what we're learning about here today. The matter in relationship to you is in God's hands. And you must believe that it is in God's hands, and you rest in that. It's kind of like Joseph, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, right? Joseph, when he was told, hey, Mary, right? And at first he was like, oh, he wanted to divorce her. But the angel said, Mary, this is what God says. And he was willing to do that. It was obedience. Last week, Pastor Nate talked about the shepherds. And the shepherds, they obeyed. They went and they told what they had seen and heard. There was obedience there. And Mary here is saying, let it be according to your word. What are you dealing with? What are you facing in your life? And the point here is, in order to witness God doing the impossible, you must believe what He has said in relationship to whatever your situation may be. He can do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what all that you ask or think. That's what God does, and He can do it. And God's Word is sufficient to give you the help that you need this Christmas through whatever you are facing and all year long and throughout life. God's Word speaks to the issues of life. For example, are you worried? Is there something that's just, man, you're just not sure what's going to happen? How can you deal with this? It's just like, oh man, I don't know what's going to happen if. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4, says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. So you think, okay, even in the middle of this worry that's weighing in and pressing in upon me, I'm not sure what's going to happen, He says, rejoice. You choose to change your thinking and your perspective about the situation. Then He says, let your moderation, your gentleness be known to all men. In other words, don't lose it, all right? Don't lose it over this situation, but rather remember that God is with you. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Let others be a testimony through whatever it is you're facing. Then He says, don't worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So, you realize, I can't worry. This situation is just, it's just so worrisome. How am I going to deal with it? God's Word speaks to that. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all so others see that you believe that God is with you. You're not going to fly off the handle. You're not going to lose it over this. But rather, you're going to take it to the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving. And the result then is the peace of God is with you, comes upon you as a result of doing what you know God wants you to do in the middle of that situation. It's impossible. This is out of control. No, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to let my gentleness be known to all men. I'm going to not be anxious, but I'm going to respond in thanksgiving and prayer. And then God's peace comes upon you. See, God has answers for the issues with which we struggle. How about problems with finances? Or work, or marriage problems, or problems with a boss, or friends, or loneliness, or loss, or the death of a loved one, unfavorable news from the doctor. God's Word speaks to all of that. In Philippians 4:19, He says, "My God will supply all your need according to His riches in Christ Jesus." You struggle with sin, evil thoughts, anger, gossip, pornography, addictions, sexual issues, lust, fear. God's Word speaks to all of that and more. Again, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. So we need direction on how to make wise decisions or how to grow in Christ, how to communicate, how to be a good citizen, how to be a good church member, how to be a good husband, wife, father, how to be a good worker, how to be a good student. God's Word speaks to all of this. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:9, make it your goal to please Him. Whether you're at home in the body or away from it, dead or alive, you make it your goal to please Him. He speaks to all of these things. It's a major presupposition of our ministry here, and that is that God's Word is sufficient to help you with the issues of your life. Don't let it get away from you. And this list here that I've mentioned is not an exhaustive list, but it's representative of the issues we face. And the question is, are you willing to humbly submit to what God has said in relationship to your life situation? Because He has spoken to that. And in order to witness God doing the impossible, believe what He has said. Believe it. Now, the additional component to that is to put His Word into practice. The point is to believe it to the extent that you are willing to do it. The nature of belief is to believe to the extent you will do what God has said. God told Mary that Jesus is the ultimate ruler. Look at verse 32 and 33. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David, and He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and His kingdom there will be no end. Jesus is God. We're going to talk about that next week. In fact, we're talking about characters of Christmas. We talked about Joseph, the shepherds, Mary. Next week, we can't have Christmas without Jesus, right? We're going to talk about that next week. But Jesus is God, God the Son. And so because of that, He is also Lord, and He should be Lord or boss of your life as well. Will you allow Him to be ruler of your life? In order to witness God doing the impossible, you must believe what He has said. You may not comprehend the fact that Jesus can take your sinful soul and give you eternal salvation, but what does God say? It may be difficult to think that, oh man, I don't see how I can trust in the Lord and He can save my soul. I just don't understand it. But what does God say about that? You may struggle with that, but God says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You see? It's not going back to how you feel or what you've done and how bad you were. It's what did Jesus do, and are you willing to believe that and receive those truths and become a child of God? What did God say about it? We just read that. Will you allow Him to rule over the areas of your life that were mentioned, the sin areas, the growth areas, the decision areas? And in order to witness what humanly seems impossible, you must believe what God has said and act upon it. Ephesians 5:10 says, find out what pleases the Lord. And James 1:22 says, now don't be a hearer of the word only, but be a doer of the word. Do what it says. Your faith is best demonstrated by the way you act in response to what you say you believe. What do you believe in your heart? And the extent of your faith is evidenced then by your behavior. True faith is active. Pastor Nate, just this last week, was sharing the gospel. He's been ministering to a young man in the congregation. We've had some interaction with him over the years here. But Pastor Nate had some time with him and has been helping him out, giving him some rides and so on. But he took some time and he sat down and had breakfast with him. And he was talking to him about faith. And he shared with him Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So often we think of faith as something that's just vague and nebulous, and we can't really get our hand around it. It's like, oh man, what? I hope it's going to happen. No. Faith is substance and evidence. And then it talks about if to have faith, you must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who diligently, earnestly seek Him. And so Pastor Nate says, okay, now what? So what is faith? What does that mean? And he says, well, he said, it's not only believing that you, Nate, are a good driver. It's getting in the car with you when you do drive. You see, it's one thing to say, I think you're a good driver, but I ain't going to ride with you. But no, he believed that Pastor Nate was a good driver, so he was willing to get into the car and let Him give him a ride. That's faith. You want to have hope this Christmas? Have the conviction of Mary. In order to witness the seemingly impossible to take place in your life this Christmas, you must believe what God has said. To the extent that you're going to act upon it, to show that it makes a difference in your life, then you will witness the work of God. Because the impossible is what God does best. How can you get through it? Whatever it is, whatever your blank is, how in the world can you cry out to God for His help? You must believe what He says about that help. And then live in light of that and show that Jesus makes a difference. Because He has. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come by the power of God. Let's have faith in what God has said in His Word. First of all, in your salvation. If you're here this morning and you're not certain of salvation, we want you to be, God wants you to be sure of that and surrender to Him in what He did for you in your place, then as a believer to walk in light of these truths as you have believed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You know the hearts of everyone here. You know our needs. You know the cries of our hearts. And God, I pray that You will open our eyes to the fact that You care and that we can trust You, we can rely upon You, first of all, for salvation. And many here have done that. And I live that I pray that each one of us would live in light of that salvation, to show that Jesus makes a difference as we handle the uncertainties of this life. Give us peace as we put your word into practice and live in light of these truths. But Father, there may be some here, they're not certain of that salvation. They've never trusted Christ, or they don't know what that means. I pray, God, that you would open their eyes to their need, and open their eyes to the issue of faith and who Jesus is, and your power and the power of your Spirit. God, I pray that you'll do a work here today that only you can do. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, as believers, are you seeing God do awesome things? You can. I'm sure you have. But you can see God do awesome things by believing what He has said and live in light of that truth, experiencing and knowing His peace. There may be someone here, you've never trusted Christ as Savior. You're not certain of eternal life. And you must believe what God has said in His Word, that there is salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved through Christ and Christ alone. So our appeal to you, His appeal to you, is to surrender and believe. If you have questions about this, or you're not sure of your salvation, I'd like everybody to fill out a connection card, jot down how God has spoken to you here this morning. But if you've never trusted Christ, we want to talk to you. Just say, I need to get saved, or I have questions about salvation, or I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. And if it's private and personal, check for pastors only. And then also, when Jeremy asks you to stand and sing in just a moment, if you'd like to talk with someone, I'll be down front here. We'll have someone take you aside and pray with you, or you can talk with me after the service as well.